The Rush continues with Ryan Doyle and special guest co-host Tamara Cherry on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
TalkSmart knows that life can be messy and your vehicle needs maximum coverage from the kids and their snacks. Don't get me started on that. The dog and its muddy paws, same goes. Or the amazing amount of beach sand a vehicle can collect in one afternoon. It's actually pretty impressive. Give your vehicle max coverage with TalkSmart's custom-fitted car mats and protect the interior from spills, dirt, and pets. Unlike other products, TalkSmart shells the maximum cabin floor, giving it a clean finish with complete protection. TalkSmart, the ultimate car mat with max coverage. Find the perfect fit at TalkSmart.ca. That's TalkSmart.ca. It is Wednesday afternoon at 8:35. How am I doing? On some sort of other time zone like you are. 5:35, yes. Which means Toronto Mayor John Tory joins The Rush this afternoon. Mr. Mayor, good to have you.
Hello, Ryan and Tamara. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Appreciate you asking.
Good.
I heard you talking today about the new phase of the pandemic, the idea of the workday fast approaching in the downtown core. I heard what you had to say today, and I felt kind of optimistic about it all. But you've got a big challenge in front of you when it comes to how many people are going to be going back to work, what that looks like, what the complexion of it is. Tell us a little bit about this new campaign.
Well, first of all, to do with your point about optimism, it's a coming together now where the employers are saying they need people to come back because, you know, look, as well as some of it's worked in terms of people working from home, it doesn't work as well as when people are in the office in terms of just that kind of collegiality, that cooperation that goes on, the ability to wander down the hall and get, you know, some advice from a colleague and that sort of thing. And secondly, there's quite a body of evidence that now suggests that people, most people, while they would probably like to go to some kind of a hybrid model, certainly are ready themselves to go back to the office and be with their colleagues and have that whole experience of being downtown, because our principal, you know, focus today was on the downtown. So if that is true, and we believe it is, that that's the state of affairs, then what we've said today is we've been in the middle for several months now of getting ready by making sure the buildings can say the HVAC is proper, that there's an elevator protocol, that the transit system is safe and that we can convince people that it's safe, that we have testing kits that have been made available already, and that we have even a bit of a marketing campaign and have some events to say to people, you know, we need you to come back to work and do it happily. You know, so we announced today, for example, there will be a program, details to soon follow, that's really going to make it easier for people to patronize the food places that exist underground, which presently have been largely closed because there's been nobody to eat. So, you know, that's what we were announcing today as a program that will come. It'll probably come, you know, a bit later in the summer when it's actually the case, because I think most of the employers are talking about having people start to return in September as opposed to now. It's summertime, and I'm not sure it's exactly the right time to be getting that to happen.
So, Mayor, I mean, City Hall is right at the northern tip of the financial district. You can get right into the pass system from there. Are you going to be encouraging all the employees in City Hall to be going back full time?
I made that exact acknowledgement today. Tamara, it's a very good question because, look, we can't say do what we say, not what we do. And so, you know, we will be among the first to say that we're going to reopen on a timetable like that. We're sorting out some issues now. To be frank, there are issues like the fact that we redeployed some staff to help in places like long-term care and so on. And we have to sort of sort some of those things out but get everybody back to their post, as it were. But yes, we will be showing leadership because we can't say to people we want you to open up. And I'm going to be sitting down with the major employers in the next little while just to confirm that they do, in fact, want to have their people come back to work and that they intend to take steps to encourage that to happen. So the answer is yes.
Some people, though, would say that leadership is also allowing flexibility with your employees. Some people don't want to be in the office full time. What will the response be in City Hall for those employees who are saying, I only want to be in the office one day a week or 2 days a week? Will that still be flexibility there?
I think our response will be the same as any other employer, which is, well, you know, we'll have to decide on an appropriate balance. I mean, the main thing is that people get the job done, but we also do want people to come back to work. And so all employers will have, you know, a decision to make with respect to what posture they take on this kind of hybrid model that says that people can work at home some of the time. I was an advocate before the pandemic even came that we should be having more flexible arrangements for our employees in this regard because it helps with things like traffic jams and, you know, congestion on the transit. So I was never averse to the notion that people could work from home, but I think we just have to decide what is the model that is fair to everybody, fair to the taxpayers, fair to the employer, fair to the employees. And so I think, like all employers, we'll have to work that out.
You had to feel, you know, Tamara mentions the people in the path. I saw some of them interviewed today. Damn, you got to feel bad for those individuals, those businesses.
Mm-hmm. the people in the underground, as you say?
Yeah, that are working and trying to run a business down there. It's just such a separate set of challenges that
they
have.
Now, I was told today, because I asked, that many of them have sort of hung on, so they haven't closed down. Well, it looks very closed now because people have closed their branches and whatnot down there, that a lot of them are hanging on waiting for the day when people do come back to work. So they're still there. That's the good news, as opposed to having vacated the premises entirely.
Yeah, I want to get into this because we talked about it, and you know it's a bit of a hobby horse for me, so let's get into it, and we've had our words on it. People with a vacant home in Toronto could be hit with a new tax designed to help cool the housing market. The executive committee yesterday approving a tax design and implementation plan on vacant Toronto homes starting next year. Is this not just, though, indicative of the fact that city council after city council didn't really see this coming, that we were going to have a lot of people that were going to need a place to live? Is this not just an admission that this is a poorly planned and designed city, and now we're trying to have to play catch up and put people in houses because now we have to tax people as a result?
I'll agree with you to a point, in the sense that I will say that the affordable housing that was not built before I was mayor, and where they set targets of literally 1,000 units a year and didn't even meet those for years on end, including going all the way back to Mayor David Miller and so on, yeah, that was not an effort that was adequate. Have we substantially increased our output since then, to the point where we're now building, as we speak, thousands of those units, with help from the federal government, by the way, and the province? Yes. But is it also the case, Ryan, that when we've seen in Vancouver, when they put this tax on, 6,000 housing units, 6,000, came free and suddenly were available for rent from people, whereas before they'd been sitting empty for reasons best known to the owners? And when the owners were given the choice, and they're given a choice here, you can rent the unit out and put it on the market and make it available to address that housing shortage you talked about, or you can pay the tax. And some people have chosen to pay the tax, but many others, 6,000, have chosen to put those units on the market. And that's why we're doing this, not to raise money. It's to encourage people to put vacant housing back into the supply. We get complaints from local residents in areas where there are houses vacant. They don't want a vacant house next to them. And we don't want these ghost condo towers that are dark at night because no one's living there.
I'm going to shelve the fact I don't like any level of government telling me what I can do with my property, because I'll come back
we're giving you a choice.
Well, it's not much of a choice, but listen, I'm not pinning this on you, but there's council colleagues that you sit with at City Hall that were on council after council that didn't have any vision, that didn't have any foresight, and got us into this mess in the first place. Again, not pinning it on you, but a lot of those councillors have been around for quite some time.
Well, sure, but that's true of a lot of things. But having said all that, I just would say to you, if we have the opportunity to put thousands of housing units, with the proof being in Vancouver, on the market, and get the ghost condos not to be ghost condos, and get empty houses in neighborhoods not to be empty but to be filled with a family that needs housing, I'm for doing that. And it does give people an absolute choice. They have a choice between leaving it the way it is if they want to and paying a tax, or putting it on the market, either for sale or for rent. And I just think that's a complete choice, and it's their choice, not ours.
Very quickly, go ahead, Tamara.
You go.
I was just going to ask you, because I know that the TTC's contract with Presto expires in 2027. It hasn't been exactly the best of marriages. Are we looking at something different, maybe a new device, a new company to do our deal with when it comes to people using a card to get on transit?
We did an exploration of the market to sort of see what was out there, and we did it both to see what was out there but also to give us some leverage with Presto, because while 2027 seems a long way away, you have to start making plans as to what you're going to do. And really what we wanted them to do was step up their act. In other words, we wanted them to bring in technologies that were even further advanced. I mean, I will say, compared to days, say, 2 years ago when you and I discussed Presto and it was a fiasco, it's working fairly well today. You don't hear a lot of complaints from people saying that the system's broken down, but it's expensive. And it doesn't necessarily have all of expensive for the city, and it doesn't necessarily have all the bells and whistles that might be expected nowadays in terms of, say, open payment with your phone and stuff. So that's the stuff we're in very detailed discussions with them on, with the hope that we can improve that system. But it remains to be seen. We have the flexibility if we want not to be part of it after 2027, but we're trying hard to see if we can get a system that is one that is much better than what we have today with them, and we'll see how that goes.
Mayor Tory, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You as well. We will talk, of course, again on Friday's broadcast at 5:35 with Toronto Mayor John Tory. When the rush continues, we'll talk about that vacant home tax, see what the roundtable thinks about it. Scott Reed, Carmen Wong, they will be here in a matter of moments.